Radio.
Evangelism According to Pope Francis. A talk by Father Dean Matheson at Evenings with Pope Francis.
The topic we're talking about is Pope Francis and evangelization. I must say, when I was given this topic, I was a bit late getting in there. The good topics had gone mercy. Pope Francis talks about mercy in every second line. Poverty, that's easy. That's exciting. The devil, everyone loves talking about the devil. So I got evangelization, which, it's a very broad topic. So I just found it a bit dull. So last night, I got onto the internet and and typed in evangelization. I'm not even sure if it was a Z or an S. Anyway, I googled it up and noticed that Pope Francis gave an interview a couple of weeks ago with an atheist. Was it Eugenio Scalafari, who's a well-known newspaper editor and founder of a couple of important newspapers in Italy. And I thought, here we go, there'll be something about evangelization in here, he'll talk about that, this is him evangelizing. Anyway, I came across the line, he said, Pope Francis said this. He said, proselytism is solemn nonsense. It makes no sense. So I thought, oh, this is a bit difficult now. this is going to be a bit awkward. It's going to be a short night. But he did say that, and it caused a bit of a kerfuffle. People were a bit concerned about, what does he mean by this? And it is, I think it's important to understand what he means by this in understanding where he's with evangelization. How could he say something like that? So in a sense, we need to understand the difference between evangelization and proselytism. Because if there is no difference, this will be a short night. So I'd ask you, if someone was to ask you, what is evangelization? What would you say? How would you explain it? If someone knew nothing about evangelization, you're a Catholic, tell me what evangelization is. What are some suggestions? What does it mean? Yes.
Sharing your faith.
Sharing your faith. That's pretty good. Anything else?
Being Christ to others.
Being Christ to others. Okay, so that's important. Because shortly after Pope Francis became Pope, he said, evangelization is the mission of the Church. Not just of a few, but our mission. The Apostle Paul exclaimed, "Woe to me if I do not preach the gospel." Everyone must be evangelizers, especially with their life. And this is a description of the difference between the two. He said, by an Orthodox writer, Stephen Methodius Hayes, he said, "Evangelism, in the English use of the term, means telling or spreading good news. The four Gospels of the New Testament tell the good news about Jesus Christ. When we as Christians tell others about what God has done in Jesus Christ, we are evangelizing. Proselytism, on the other hand, means bringing people in, causing them to change their beliefs, their party, their opinions, or their religion. In that there is a strong element of telling people how bad or wrong their present beliefs are. Telling people that their beliefs are wicked or wrong does not appear as good news. If we evangelize, we are not saying our religion is better than your religion. We are not setting ourselves up as morally or spiritually superior beings and trying to get people to leave their religion and join ours so that they can be superior like us. When we evangelize, we say in effect that God has done great things. Someone once described evangelism as one beggar telling another beggar where to get bread." You see, there's a great humility in that. So to a hungry beggar, that is good news. And a beggar telling another beggar such news can hardly boast about it or claim to be superior because of it. So it's important to make that distinction. When we see Pope Francis doing these things and perhaps not being as blunt as some people want him to be, he is evangelizing. And it's a subtle thing, but he is sharing Christ with others. We'll look at this quote from the Pope. He said, "The Church does not grow through proselytism. It grows through attraction, through witness. And when the people see this witness of humility, of meekness, of mildness, they feel the need that the prophet Zechariah spoke of, We want to come with you. The people feel that need in the face of the witness of charity, of this humble charity. Worship and serve. Now, that wasn't Pope Francis, that was Pope Benedict. And you see how Pope Francis is following on from Pope. Sounds very similar. Proselytism is not what we're into. It is sharing Jesus, which in a sense, sharing the good news, which is a different thing. Pope Francis says, I believe I have already said that our goal is not to proselytize, but to listen to needs, desires and disappointments, despair, hope. So Pope Francis is following Pope Benedict, and Pope Benedict is following Pope John Paul II, who first coined the phrase the new evangelization. And this is the context that Pope Francis is working in, the new evangelization. So we need to understand what that is. Pope John Paul II, he first used this phrase in 1979 when he went to Poland for his first visit to Poland after he became the Pope. And he said, a new evangelization has begun, as if it were a new proclamation, even if in reality it is the same as ever. And he just dropped this line, wasn't really noticed at all. And it was 4 years later until he used that phrase again, and then it became a program. So he just dropped that phrase, new evangelization. Then I think it was 4 years later where he was talking to the Latin American bishops and he used this term, and then this became sort of part of his mission. So we need to understand what this new evangelization is. It's evangelizing in our time, understanding what our time is, and finding new ways to evangelize. This is what Pope Francis says, we need to find new ways. And in a sense, the new evangelization, it's new because we're not like the apostles who are spreading this good news that nobody's heard about. Evangelization now is everybody has heard it. Everybody's heard this good news of Jesus Christ, and it's been rejected, in a sense, by the world. So we need to tell this story again, perhaps in a new way, realizing that people have heard it and dismissed it. See, then this is the great challenge. Just a couple of days after Pope Francis became Pope, he said, we have the certainty that the Holy Spirit gives his church, with his powerful breath, the courage to persevere and to search for new ways to evangelize. This is one of the very first things he said as the Pope. He said, this is our mission. This is what we're about. So it's quite clear that Pope Francis is about evangelization. This is what the church does. And just before we get into the sort of the 3 points that I want to mention, I love Pope Francis. You know, I know some people are a bit wary about, you know, things that he's saying. I think he's fantastic. And I think it's a really exciting time that we're in to have this Pope and the things that he's saying and doing. So I want to mention just three things, very much like Pope Francis. three topics in terms of evangelization and what he's showing us. First of all, witness, that we need to witness. Second is the encounter, to go out and encounter people. This is what he's about, going out, encountering people who maybe don't have the same beliefs as us. And the third thing I'll call the process about which we do this, in the sense that it is the Holy Spirit that is evangelizing. It's not our work, but God, we have to allow God to work through us. So to a world that has largely rejected the notion of faith, Francis is speaking in a way that's making people sit up and listen. And that's quite extraordinary. He's got a bit different style to the previous popes, but you see he's following on. But this is what Pope Benedict suggested. This is how the church will grow, by attraction. People are listening. There's an article in a blog of the Esquire magazine, which is probably not the most religious magazine going around. And the title of the article was, "It's time to admit it, Pope Francis is pretty awesome." And basically, it was just going through all the things. I think it said it started when he paid his bill, and it goes. It's going through all the things that he's done that people have noticed and are attracted to about Pope Francis. Unfortunately, it didn't see that he was just following on from the previous popes. But you see that he's sort of taking the world by storm, and we need to realize this. We need to pay attention. And you see that he's you know, people calling him the people's pope, and he's with the people. I was even at World Youth Day, many of you who were at World Youth Day saw that he would get out of his Pope mobile every 50 metres. I know that I was, when he went past me, and he was facing the other way, unfortunately, as he went past. And then as he went past, like 50 metres down the road, he stopped. And I was in the wrong spot. But it was interesting, on our way to World Youth Day, we stopped in Buenos Aires, and I was fortunate enough to say Mass in the cathedral where Pope Francis was the Archbishop. And after the Mass, I was speaking to the priest, basically saying, "So, Pope Francis, do you know him? What's he like?" And this priest said, "You know, it's interesting. The one that we see there now, like in Rome, this Pope," he said, "we didn't know him. We didn't know him like that." He said, "When he was here, he was very tough, very strong. And and he said, I think that will come out. And I think when he was in Argentina, he was very media shy. And now I think it's, in a sense, it's the Holy Spirit that's really moving in him, and he's seeing the importance of being on this world stage and using that for good." There's an article by John Allen Jr. I think he was out here in Sydney recently. And he was talking about Pope Francis at the six-month stage. He was saying how he is, he called him a force of nature. He says he plunges willy-nilly into crowds to the delight of the masses and the horror of his security team. He speaks his mind with sometimes startling frankness, such as his famous "Who am I to judge?" line with regard to homosexuals. He makes phone calls to people out of the blue, including ordinary folks who've written him to share some personal struggle, and involves himself daringly in the issues of the day, such as his recent full-court press against military strikes in Syria. I don't know if you saw that, when he was calling for prayer for what was happening in Syria. Just the sort of the straightforward way that he spoke about it, this importance that we need to pray for this. He was very blunt in a very caring way. So this is what Pope Francis is about, evangelization. And it's about bringing good news. This is what his mission is, sharing the good news and the essentials of the good news, which is God is love, God is mercy. So this first thing, witness. Just a couple of weeks ago, Pope Francis spoke to the assembly of the Pontifical Council for Promoting the New Evangelization, which was something that Pope Benedict set up. And he said, "New evangelization means to reawaken the life of faith in the heart and mind of our contemporaries. Faith is a gift of God. But it is important that we Christians show that we live the faith in a concrete way, through love, concord, joy, suffering, because this elicits questions. As at the beginning of the journey of the church, why do they live like this? What drives them? These are the questions that go to the heart of evangelization, which is the witness of faith and charity." We need to elicit questions from people. People need to say, why are they living like that? You know, we need to live our faith in a concrete way. This is what he's challenging us to do. Not just to know about our faith, not just to do our church things, but to really live it. There's a book called The Rise of Christianity, a guy called Rodney Stark. And in this book, he basically talks about the rise of Christianity and talks about how, funnily enough, and he talks about how this institution has grown from such a small little group. What were the factors involved? And one of the chapters is about how the Christians looked after the sick in the epidemics. And it says that Christianity grew when the pagans, when people were dying of illnesses, perhaps very simple things, people were dying off. Well, Christians were surviving because they were being looked after. They were being cared for. So that was one thing. The Christians were surviving these things because they were cared for by their community. And also others saw this and were attracted to it and wanted to be part of that. And this is the witness, this is the concrete way of living our faith, by truly caring for others. And this is truly Christian. This is the way, what it means to be a Christian. Pope Francis says, "What we need, especially in these times, are credible witnesses who, with their faith and also with the word, render the gospel visible, reawaken attraction for Jesus Christ, for God's beauty." This is what we are called to do, to reawaken the faith in people. That implies that the faith is that people have this longing for faith. It just needs to be reawakened. And it's a very similar thing, that line, talking about that we need witnesses of faith. Very similar line to what Pope Benedict said, actually, as Cardinal Ratzinger, just before he became a pope, and it's contained in a book called Christianity and the Crisis of Civilizations, I think it's something like that. It's a beautiful little passage, and I'll read it. Above all, that of which we are in need at this moment in history are people who, through an enlightened and lived faith, render God credible in this world. The negative testimony of Christians who speak about God and live against him has darkened God's image and opened the door to disbelief. So this is part of this new evangelization. We have to make up for the negative things that have happened in the church. He says, we need people who have their gaze directed to God to understand true humanity. That's beautiful, that idea that if we are directing our gaze to God, we will understand humanity. And this is something I think Pope Benedict knew very well. He understood culture, people, because he directed his gaze to God. We need people whose intellects are enlightened by the light of God and whose hearts God opens so that their intellects can speak to the intellects of others and so that their hearts are able to open up to the hearts of others. He's not saying we need people who are very smart. He's saying people who have intellects that can speak to the intellects of others, who people who can understand others and speak perhaps the language that people understand. This is what this part of the new evangelization is about, is making up for perhaps things that have happened in the church. Most importantly, we must be able to show the beauty of our faith. As it says, reawaken attraction for Jesus. We must be convinced, first of all, that it is attractive. We must focus on the beautiful, the positive. And this, I think, relates to something else that Pope Francis said in an interview a couple of weeks before the interview that I mentioned. Then it was a controversial statement where he said, we cannot insist only on issues related to abortion, gay marriage, and the use of contraceptive methods. This is not possible. The teaching of the church, for that matter, is clear. And I am a son of the church. But it is not necessary to talk about these things, these issues, all the time. He said, we must focus on the essentials, that God is love. This is the beautiful stuff. I remember, actually, it was Father Robert Barron a few years ago hearing him speak and saying, when we meet people and we're explaining the faith, we don't start by explaining the church's teachings on contraception. No, we start by showing how beautiful the faith is, what extraordinary things we have in containing the faith. That stuff flows from it, but we must first start with God is love, God is mercy. And this is all that Pope Francis is saying and doing. He says, proclamation in a missionary style focuses on the essentials, on the necessary things. This is also what fascinates and attracts more, what makes the heart burn, as it did for the disciples at Emmaus. We have to find a new balance. This is from his interview. Otherwise, even the moral edifice of the church is likely to fall like a house of cards, losing the freshness and fragrance of the gospel. The proposal of the gospel must be more simple, profound, radiant. It is from this proposition that the moral consequences then flow. It's simple. God loves us. We are special in God's eyes. God is merciful. He loves us no matter what we do. Everything else flows from that. So Pope Francis has been concentrating on this idea of mercy. You find that all throughout his talks, his homilies. Mercy, mercy, mercy. As I think it was one article said that Pope John Paul, his big thing was do not be afraid. Pope Benedict was faith and reason. Pope Francis is mercy. And this is what he's big into, mercy. And I find that constantly talking about it, perhaps just copying things that he's saying, Pope Francis is saying. But mercy, mercy, and you realise, and being just a priest for less than a year, and confessions and things, you realise that this is what it's all about. This is what Christianity is about. That God loves us. God came to us to take away our sins, even though we don't deserve it, to wash away our sins. This is what Christianity is about. That he loves us that much. These are the essentials. He says, there is a need of Christians who render the mercy of God visible to the men of today. His tenderness for every creature. We all know that the crisis of contemporary humanity is not superficial but profound. Because of this, the new evangelization, while calling to have the courage to go against the current, to be converted from idols to the only true God, cannot but use the language of mercy, made up of gestures and attitudes even before words. And you see this in the actions of Pope Francis, that he's going out, he's having these conversations, he's showing God's mercy. And this reminded me of something that Pope Benedict said a number of years ago. I don't know, you might remember, he welcomed back four bishops who had been excommunicated. And he welcomed back, and he was criticized for doing this, for being perhaps a bit too lenient. And I remember he wrote a letter explaining why he did it, explaining, trying to address the criticisms. And it was a beautiful letter. And he basically said, we need to show God's mercy. We need to be first to go out and show the mercy of God. We don't, like God doesn't wait in a stubborn way and wait for us to get ready. Now he goes out, just like in the prodigal son story. God races out, no matter what we've done, to bring us back. And this is what Pope Benedict was trying to do in this action of welcoming these bishops back. So you see again this continuation. And like St. Francis, you know, the words that are attributed to St. Francis, preach the gospel always, and use words when necessary. This is very Pope Francis. He's trying to show God's love in his actions. Show the essentials. Okay, so that's the first thing. Second thing is encounter. Francis is all about going out and encountering people, dialoguing with people. This is something that he said about a year before he became the Pope. And he was interviewed, and the interviewer was asking him about evangelization in the Latin American context. And he said, we need to come out of ourselves and head for the periphery. We need to avoid the spiritual sickness of a church that is wrapped up in its own world. When a church becomes like this, it grows sick. It is true that going out onto the street implies the risk of accidents happening, as they would to any ordinary man or woman. But if this church stays wrapped up in itself, it will age. And if I had to choose between a wounded church that goes out onto the streets and a sick, withdrawn church, I would definitely choose the first one. This is a great example for us. We can't remain in our own little groups. We must go out. This is what Christianity is about. We must go out and risk being injured, risk perhaps doing the wrong thing, making these errors. But this is the challenge. When we see this is what Pope Francis is doing, you know, going into prisons, you know, speaking to atheists and saying things like, we are all trying to seek the good. You know, this dialogue, we need to go out and meet people. He says, essential, because essential to this program of evangelization and the new evangelization is the need to go out to meet people where they're at. Pope Francis understands this, as he says, we must listen to needs, desires, disappointments, despair, hope. We must listen. We think of evangelization as going out and saying something. What's very important is listening. I really understand people. This I think he understands in a very profound way. At World Youth Day, where, you know, with that great excitement, great zeal, he said, where does Jesus send us? There are no borders, no limits. He sends us to everyone. The gospel is for everyone, not just for some. We've heard this all before, but if we really understand what he's saying, he says it is not only for those whom seem closer to us, more receptive, more welcoming. It is for everyone. Do not be afraid to go and to bring Christ into every area of life, to the fringes of society, even to those who seem farthest away, most indifferent. The Lord seeks all. He wants everyone to feel the warmth of his mercy and love. And if we really understand this message, what the message is, God's love, God's mercy, that is for all people. Everybody wants this. If we realize that what it is, everybody wants this and everybody deserves this. He is convinced that this is not a message just for a few, that it is for all. And this confidence that God's message of love is for all must give us the courage. to take this good news to all. Francis is, I think, aware that often we don't share this good news with all because we are not confident in the message ourselves. And all do deserve to hear it. He says we often put up walls instead of building bridges. We often do the opposite of what Jesus seeks to do. He said recently, Christians who are afraid to build bridges and prefer to build walls are Christians who are not sure of their faith, not sure of Jesus Christ. The Pope said, as Paul did, Christians to do as Paul did and begin to build bridges and to move forward. Paul teaches us this journey of evangelization because Jesus did, because he is well aware that evangelization is not proselytizing. It is because he is sure of Jesus Christ and does not need to justify himself or to seek reasons to justify himself. He says, when the church loses this apostolic courage, she becomes a stalled church, a tidy church, a nice church, a church that looks nice, but that is without fertility, because she has lost the courage to go to the outskirts, where there are many people who are victims of idolatry, worldliness of weak thought, and so many things. This is what people suffer from. See, he's very blunt in his critique of the problems. He's not saying, oh, everyone's sort of the same. No, he's aware that it is a problem with people who suffer from, as he says, worldliness of weak thought, and we must do something about that. But it's the way we do it. He says, let us today ask St. Paul to give us this apostolic courage, this spiritual fervor, so that we might be confident. He says, but Father, you might say, we might make mistakes. Well, what of it? I might respond. He responds. He says, get on with you. If you make a mistake, you get up and go forward. That is the way. Those who do not walk in order not to err make the more serious mistake. He says, get on with it. So, and this is exciting, and he talked about this in one of his first homilies. He talked about the importance of movement in our faith. It always needs to be moving, a moving forward. There must be a movement in order to encounter. And St. Paul is the great example of this, going out to share the truth and speaking in a language that people understood. And this is what St. Paul did, and this is what we need to imitate. Not dumbing down the message, but speaking in a language that people understand. Pope Francis says, Paul does not say to the Athenians, this is the encyclopedia of truth. Study this and you have the truth. No, the truth does not enter into an encyclopedia. The truth is an encounter. It is a meeting with supreme truth, Jesus, the great truth. No one owns the truth. We receive the truth when we meet it. But why did Paul act as he did? First, the Pope said, because this is the way of Jesus, who spoke with everyone, with sinners, publicans, teachers of the law. Paul, therefore, follows the attitude of Jesus. The Christian who would bring the gospel must go down this road. He must listen to everyone, must dialogue with everybody. So evangelization is sharing God's love with all. This is what it is. No sort of aim in the end, but sharing God's love, showing that God is merciful, that he is with us always. This is what people need to hear. This is what we crave. The crisis that the Pope sees you might have mentioned or seen that in the interview that I first mentioned, he was asked, what are the great problems in the world? And Pope Francis said, the most serious evils currently afflicting the world are unemployment among the young and the solitude in which the elderly are left. And everyone was, a lot of people were a bit surprised by this. I thought there would have been other things that he would have pointed to. But you see that we are all longing for Jesus. This is what he's saying. This is the essential stuff. And this is what Jesus brings, hope. And when people are unemployed or people are lonely, they can lose this hope. And Pope Francis sees clearly that we can't just tell people this, hope in Jesus. No, we must show them. We must care for them. We must address the spiritual and material needs of people. This is how we show God's love. Not by telling people, but by acting. This is how we can share the hope that Jesus gives, by really ministering. Finally, this last thing, how do we do it? How does it work? In that interview, an interview with America magazine, Pope Francis said, it's a beautiful line, he said, God is first. God is always first and makes the first move. We need to realize that. And this is where, in a sense, it's a simple thing, but it's also a great challenge. We realize that it is God who does the work. So, you know, in a sense, we can sort of take it easy, realize that, you know, the responsibility is not that great if God is doing everything. But it also is the challenge that we need to realize that. We need to realize what God does. St. Francis knew this very well. St. Francis knew what he'd been given by God. St. Francis knew how much he'd been given, how much God loved him. And this is what drove him to do what he did. In a sense, St. Francis, as with all Christians, all that we can do is respond to God's love. God moves first and we respond. And this is, I think, what Pope Francis is showing us. Pope Francis says, a Christian must proclaim Jesus Christ in such a way that he be accepted, received, not refused. And Paul knows that he has to show, St. Paul knows that he has to sow the gospel message. He knows that the proclamation of Jesus Christ is not easy, but that it does not depend on him. He must do everything possible, but the proclamation of Jesus Christ, the proclamation of the truth, depends on the Holy Spirit. So we need to believe that. We need to understand that. It means we need to be attentive to the working of the Holy Spirit. It means discernment. It means not just going out there and doing something like saying, all right, Jesus, I'm going to do this for you. You know, and Jesus is like, hang on, this is my deal. You know, don't go and do your own thing. But, you know, to realize that when we do this, when we try to live as Christians, we are doing it, that Jesus is alongside us, that he's with us. Pope Francis says, in the church, all this, however, is not left to chance or improvisation. It calls for a common commitment to a pastoral plan that recalls the essential and that is well centered on the essential, namely on Jesus Christ. This is what he's about. He's wanting to go back, perhaps not go back, but he's wanting to get to the essential. What is essential about our faith, which is Jesus, and showing the love of Jesus. It is no use to be scattered in so many secondary or superfluous things, but to be concentrated on the fundamental reality, which is the encounter with Christ, with his mercy, with his love, and to love brothers as he loved us. That's all that matters. Nothing else. That's what matters. So this is our program. This is our mission. Jesus. Francis is reminding us this. What is essential? And it's a simple message in a sense, but profound, as he says. He says, a project animated by the creativity and imagination of the Holy Spirit, who drives us also to follow new ways with courage and without becoming fossilized. We could ask ourselves, how effective is the pastoral plan of our diocese and parishes? Does it render the essential visible? Do the different experiences, characteristics, walk together in harmony that the Spirit gives? Or is our pastoral plan scattered, fragmentary, where in the end, each one goes his own way? In everything that we do, all these wonderful things, the activities that we can do, what is essential? Is the essential there? Is it visible? Pope Francis said at World Youth Day, again, he talked about pointing to the essential, telling the young people to focus on the essential. He said, do not be afraid. When we go to proclaim Christ, it is he himself who goes before us and guides us. He is always with us. He said, when he sent his disciples on mission, Jesus promised, I am with you always. And this is also true for us. Jesus does not leave us alone. He never leaves you alone. He always accompanies you. We need to be very clear about that. Not just know that in our heads, but in our hearts. That Jesus is with us no matter in all that we do. I'll just conclude with one more quote. I know this has been full of quotes, but there's so many. After I did get on the internet, I found... it's extraordinary, the beautiful lines that he comes out with. Now, I assume, this is the fourth week of this session, I assume everyone has the Pope app by now. This is homework for the week. If you don't have Pope, you need to get your phones out and get this the Pope app, which has all the things that Pope Francis is saying. But we need to really be hearing what he's saying. I think we really need to understand where he's at, because this is an exciting time in the church to have this Pope like this, who is saying things, not anything different, but he's saying things with a different style, which people are listening to. And we need to take advantage of this, I think. When people are saying, oh, Pope Francis is great, we need to say, well, he's with us. He's our guy. He's our boss. Not to see people to say, oh, Pope Francis is great, but you Catholics. No, we say, well, you know, we're on the same team. So I'll finally finish with this little passage. The Pope Francis is talking about us needing to go out to open the doors of the church. He says, I'll read this long thing and then we'll finish. The new evangelization is a renewed movement towards him who has lost the faith and the profound meaning of life. This is what we need to offer. This dynamism is part of the great mission of Christ to bring life to the world, the Father's love to humanity. The Son of God went out of his divine condition and came to encounter us. The church is within this movement. Every Christian is called to go out to encounter others, to dialogue with those who do not think the way that we do, with those who have another faith or who don't have faith, to encounter all, because we all have in common our having been created in the image and likeness of God. We can go out to encounter everyone without fear and without giving up our membership. The church is the house whose doors are always open, not only so that everyone can find welcome and breathe love and hope, but also because we can go out and bring this love and this hope. The Holy Spirit drives us to go out of our enclosure, and guides us to the fringes of humanity. So this is our mission. Thank you very much.
That was Father Dean Matheson with Evangelism According to Pope Francis. Evenings with Pope Francis was an initiative of Catholic Youth Services Sydney. And for more talks, interviews, and shows, visit cradio.org.au.